Yo, what's good, Portland? The time is 7:05 p.m. It is a Wednesday night, and you are tuned into another episode of Combined Culture Radio. You already know that Tevin, Kayla, Anthony, and Ben are back in the place holding it down. We got some special guests in the building this week. I myself am blessed to be here with you. My name is Cam, aka Jiggy Killer. I'm ready to do this. Lowe's here from the Fofo. Say what's up to the people, man. And you know we got Dr. Chilla Wayne. Say what's up.
What's good?
Man, rocking my young son.
Hey, the young guys are here. Hey, before we do anything here on Combined Culture Radio, get into it. You know we like to turn up a little bit. So let's go ahead and get into this mix and we'll come back to it.
I get them keys like piano. I get that money in my ammo. A 30 on me, that's my ammo. Get a little and they calling me Rambo. Catch me downtown with your. Hey, wait. Riding around with your. Whoa. Yeah. Catch me downtown with your. Whoa. Yeah. Around with your. Whoa. Yeah. Say she wanna go down the shoot. Whoa. Yeah. Gucci all up on my. Whoa. Yeah. I get them money blue cheese. I got your on her knees. Diamonds on me and they bling. All the diamond rings. Catch me over. Overseas, stunning quick, ayy. What? Get the check, I split it quick, yeah. Oh, catch me downtown with your, ayy. Riding around with your, ayy. Why she always frowned up it, ayy. Wait, big that's all up on my, whoa, yeah. I get the keys like piano, I get that money in my ammo. A 30 on me, that's my ammo. Get a little bit, they callin' me Rambo. Catch me downtown with your, ayy. Wait, riding around with your, whoa.
Woke up to sounding like me. Oh, I think they like me. Yeah, they like me. Diamonds on me, ice cream. That's lightly. My Draco spidely. Diamonds on me, bites. I heard these wanna fight me. Meet me at my next show, but you better bring a pipe. Me. We ain't fight. I think she like me. Excited. So excited. Benny cool, I'm riding with the thoughts. I just spent $100 on my watch piece. I done fell in love with a thought. She just wanna f me for my clout. I'm off the lean, I crashed the Audi. I just spent $200 on this Audi. Woke up to sounding like me.
Pull up with a stick, let it hit. 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 Some love to the mall. With a couple cabos and a hundred dimes. Color slot a gang, you get your shit apart. Draco with a drum, the chain never go stop. He on that line, boy. Slot a gang, green stoves. It's the mob. You ain't got more ties, you just so not. Pull up with a stick in the.
And a 100 dimes. Color slot a gang, you get your shoe apart. Draco with a drum, the chain never go stop.
He on that line, boy. Slot a gang, green stove. It's the mob. You ain't got more ties, you just on not. Pull up with a stick in the
hit. Pull up with a stick, let it hit. Pull up with a stick.
All right, Portland, that's this week's mix on Combined Culture Radio. You know, we like to keep you getting turned up. Man, before we do anything and we get into anything on this week's episode, we want to take the time to send our condolences and our prayers to the victims of Hurricane Harvey, and especially the city of Houston. We're actually fortunate enough to have a member on our team here, Lo, who's from Houston, man. So if you could say anything to the people out there of your city, man, what would you say to them?
Yeah, just sending my prayers and my love to my city, to my home, to Houston. We're going to come back stronger, and we're going to bounce back from this, like, for sure. And if you can, please donate to the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund at ghcf.org/hurricane-relief. Or you can go to J.J. Watt's Flow Relief, which has already raised $7 million for it, at www.ucarin.com/JJWatt.
Definitely. Ben, Anthony, you guys have any thoughts on, you know what's been going on, man?
Yeah, I think it's really pertinent that we put a spotlight on what's going on in Houston, Texas right now in terms of Hurricane Harvey, just because mainstream media, the way they're talking about this, they're talking about it as if it's just a one-off kind of event. But this is a result of, climate change, and something we should definitely be attuned to. So, being able to spread that love to people in this time of need and just being able to put a focal on the larger issues at hand that inform this kind of catastrophe. So it's really important we kind of look at that.
No, yeah, definitely. I think there's an inability for Americans to empathize with situations that don't directly affect us, so that's a big part of it too. There's a lot of people that have platforms that are stepping up that, we want to shout out and give love to. Shout out to J.J. Watt, Houston, Texas, and defensive end that is doing some great stuff for our city. And they said Beyonce donated so much money that they couldn't even say how much she donated. So,
hidden amount.
Hold up. Let me text Auntie B and see how much that number was hitting for.
I'm sorry, you said you're going to text Beyonce?
Yeah, I'm going to text her.
Okay, I forgot who he was talking to.
I'm gonna tell her I'm gonna double that amount.
I didn't know she had family in Ohio.
Y'all got the game messed up everywhere. Y'all got the game messed up. Because if anybody who got Beyonce's number, it's the girl sitting next to me right now. You feel me?
Is that what it is? Kayla, you and B.
So we
tight.
Must be in a group chat.
They all family. They do brunch on Sundays. Yeah, but man, all seriousness, shout out to Houston, man. Sending much love and prayers their way. On a little bit of a brighter note, there was a lot of music going on in hip hop culture this weekend. A lot of freshman debut albums for some people, a lot of sophomore covers. There's a lot going on. What are some stuff that you guys been listening to? Who's been popping?
Man, you already know we slapping that Neon Gust by my boy Uzi. Ooh, man. Yep. But yeah, you already know I gotta say the whole tape was trash, but that Neon Gust.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on, wait a minute.
Trash. I don't know about trash.
Okay, yeah. First off, Tevin is an old head, so
this is a BB King in
Nah, hold on, bro. You gonna sit up here and try to tell me, bro? And you over here, Cam was the one roasting Kendrick. Y'all saying I was an old head for listening to Kendrick?
No, nobody said that.
Saying Kendrick, an OG, man. We ain't doing no Kendrick. We doing Playboy Cardi next, bro.
No.
We doing a Playboy Cardi video, but we ain't got the Playboy Cardi video.
Did we not do a full Kendrick Lamar short film?
We did, bro. But y'all say y'all was gonna give me a Cardi video, but where's that at?
Hey, listen. Just because we weren't born before Kennedy was president doesn't mean that we don't like Kendrick Lamar. So that's what it is, right? So that's what it is. But lots going on. You said you checked out Triple X's. I know a lot of people didn't expect that. He got the he got the KDOT co-sign on that, did he not?
Yeah, and with that co-sign, his perspective has changed all from everybody. Has changed his perspective of him so much. And it's like everybody thought he was going to come in with all this hard, what was that song? Look at Me.
Yeah.
Just all aggressive. But he came in, he poured his heart and his soul into this album, bro.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Definitely.
If y'all have a chance, go check out Triple X at 17.
We'll get that on the episode for you guys so you can check that out. Cozy Tapes. Anybody who's on Cozy Tapes?
Come on now.
Cozy boys in the
feels
building one
so
time.
Feels so good.
Talk to me, Ben. What's been
going on? I'm a little Cozy Tapes, man. It's all about the collective now, It's our generation, feel me? We all moving together in sync. Cozy Tapes is our inspiration,
That's
it's combined
it
culture. It's exactly it's what we're doing now. It's the new mob.
It's the mob. I see that. I like that.
All right.
Nobody named my favorite project. Nobody was on that project.
He from Florida, so he probably might say something about
that Kodak Black from Pompano.
Okay, time out. I really wasn't messing with Kodak, but I'm gonna give him some respect for remixing that Ghetto Boys. My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me.
Yes, on Transport.
I heard it. I was like, okay, this is fire.
Yes,
fire.
So do that. Do that, man.
I might give him a shot.
Yeah, because, man, you got to remember, a guy like that, he came in with that class that was all those guys. It was Uzi, it was Yachty, it was Designer, and he's kind of just kept his own sound. You know, he's repping for Pompano one time, you know? Dirty, dirty South with it. But, yeah, yeah, so big week for music. We'll have to get some down next week's episode to get that to you guys. Fight night, Saturday night. I know. A few of us were together. Tev, where you at? Where were you guys at for this one?
Man, for that one, I was at the crib with Kayla. And she was literally, bro, I kid you not, when Floyd was about to knock McGregor out, I swear to God, bro, she literally got up and was like yelling, like, knock him out, knock him out, knock him out.
I can see that.
I swear to God, bro. But the thing is, that's crazy. We were both up like, bro, knock him out, bro, knock him out. Bro, I was so juiced because I was like, yo, bro, like, really, really, bro, this man was talking so much mess, bro. So I was like, yo, he had to knock him out, bro, because I was nervous because I had money on the fight, bro.
I was nervous.
Floyd bet on himself?
I heard they didn't let him do it.
I mean, what are you guys' thoughts, though? What do you feel about the fight itself? You know, I mean, and not just because there's, you know, what's so crazy about this fight is it became a spectacle, right? So you had to purchase it, you had to be a part of it, you had to do something. There was a lot of drama, you know, like the fact that the fight got pushed back due to the pay-per-view. I hear there's a lot of people trying to get their money back due to low quality of it. So, I mean, it's just crazy. Was it really worth
what it's almost like a really expensive WWE match. Like, Floyd... No. Look, no disrespect to Floyd or anything, because, I mean, he's obviously the greatest of our generation. You know, shout out to the money team. But he is not going to fight someone who he thinks is going to challenge him. He's going to fight the person who's going to give him the biggest payout. He's going to do the show fight. He's not going to do the fight for a real contender. So it's like, you're not watching it for a fight. You're kind of just watching it to say you watched it because you know he's going to win. You know, like, that's the whole point of him coming out of retirement to do the fight, is because he knew he was going to win. He knew he was about to get paid.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I mean, I think we got to show a little bit of love to the McGregor camp. I mean, the man had never boxed before professionally, right?
True.
Never boxed before.
True.
And for a second, I'm saying second, a real long second, it looked like he was so much bigger and longer than Floyd that it looked like, okay, maybe we have something here just because of his size. But eventually, you know, Floyd's tactics.
Oh, Tab got something to say. No, look at him shaking his head.
My brother, see, I gotta disagree with that.
That's okay.
The reason that most of y'all don't know, bro, if y'all really watch Floyd play, bro, like, even the announcers were saying it, bro, like, the first four rounds, bro, he just trying to fill him out, bro. You know what I mean? Like, even Michaela was tripping, like, he might lose, this and that. And I kept on trying to tell everybody, look, Floyd always plays his opponent out. And y'all know that. That's why y'all saw when round five, round six started coming, that's when he really started swinging on, bro. You know what I mean? So it's like, he wasn't going to do a KO in the first one. That's just, well, you gotta fight smart, bro. You can't just come out the gate swinging. That's how McGregor got tired, bro. You feel me?
Yeah, I think regardless, I mean, I didn't pay for it, so I mean, I could say one thing, but
Twitter was streaming it. I heard, that's what I heard on the street, is you didn't even have to cop the fight. You could have just went on, you know.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, you slept on that one.
Oh, I did. I just went to a friend's place. But you know what? I think regardless, like, we got to respect him as a businessman. You know, a lot of people see him as an athlete. I mean, I looked at him and I think he had this whole thing planned out for a long time coming, right?
Oh, definitely.
That's black business.
You know,
no, and that's proper. Yeah, you know, you're saying that's black excellence at its finest. You know, I think Floyd is so much more than a boxer to the black community, as a mogul and a platform. But I mean, if we're just being real about this, did McGregor actually lose anything here?
Of course not. He's guaranteed $30 million for something he's not specialized
He got a payout for this fight higher than any UFC payout.
Yeah,
he's ever received.
So his boxing record is what now? 0-1, right? I mean, he was 21-3 in UFC to begin with. So,
bro, and at that, McGregor was celebrating, like, when he lost. It was like, bro, I ain't tripping. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he was really partying like that night. But I will say that's funny,
though. That's right. You're right. Shout out to the Gucci.
Exactly. But shout out to that referee, because I know y'all saw that meme where literally he was talking to McGregor. He was like, all right, we ain't gonna do this, we ain't gonna do that.
Yeah,
we ain't gonna do
that. I know,
that was hilarious.
No, you gotta see this video on Twitter, and they did a voiceover. I was cracking up about that earlier.
Shout out to Twitter, always coming through. Twitter is one of the places you can get updates. You don't even really gotta watch the fight. Sometimes they'll put videos on there. you know, depending on what's been going on. Man, just because we got a little bit of extra time here today on Combined Culture, I mean, we saw what's been going on in sports, man. What about this Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas? Man, it shook up the NBA, you know, whether we want to admit it or not. We're not going to get into it too much because over here, you know, we got Warriors and Rockets and Laker fans in the building, you know.
Hey, so. Y'all say about the bother Rockets, by the way.
Bruh, you think she will?
Bro, yeah. Ask low, bro.
Bro, shut up.
No, but yeah. What do you guys think about that? Like, that's a big trade.
I've never seen an off season in the NBA where so many like big time people move. Like, do y'all remember an off season like this? Where like everybody seemed to like move places for whatever reason.
I think the reason why all this is going down, and nobody ever wants to believe me, but the reason why Kyrie's trying to jump ship is because he knows Bron is jumping ship. And Bron is probably telling Kyrie, like, look, bruh, we about to jump ship. I'm about to jump ship next year. So you might as well just bounce out right now, mm-hmm. before everything gets rough. You know what I mean?
No, definitely. I'm seeing it. Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's the thing too, as people are saying this. But I mean, like, it seems like it's even on both sides. Who won the trade here? Like, which team is gonna better from this, depending on, you know, the way things go? I mean, Dwayne, you're from Youngstown. You know, you got something to say about your boys in Cleveland? Losing Kyrie. I mean, the city doesn't seem to be too upset, right? Like,
they upset about that Warriors loss.
I mean, that's more painful than losing Kyrie when you still got LeBron. So I mean,
you love the Warriors.
Come on, bro. We gotta represent 5-1-0.
I don't got much to say on the topic, being the fact that I don't really follow basketball that much. Mm-hmm. But something I will say, though, is that people have to understand when it comes in terms of loyalty, you kind of have to, like, look out for yourself and things like that when it comes to NBA contracts, because at the end of the day, like, this is it. Like, they don't, like, a lot of them don't have college degrees. They don't have businesses to fall back on. So it's like, you got to go where you're going to make the most money when you can. So, like, I don't like the fact that people are, like, burning jerseys.
Yeah, and man, stuff that's like why. That. They're doing better for the families, and especially that man. Right. He gave so much to the city. He played a game the day after his sister died, you know, for the organization. So that's, I mean, if you know, we're all about positivity and love here on KBU, yeah. My Coach Radio. But this to the city of Boston, that's a no-no, man. You don't do that to somebody that, you know, gave their heart and soul to you as an athlete. You know, that's but it's very much immature in a sense.
Yeah.
Know? But that's the thing is sports is so much more than just games. You know,
sports is competitive.
It, you know, it affects people, and it's culture. You know, in Boston, the Celtics are engraved in, you know, who they are. You know, in the same way, you know, different coasts play music and those kinds of things. Yeah, so that's big. That's big.
But we not for that racist stuff.
No, definitely not. Not
we
always.
Definitely
that.
Not for that, man. You know, we definitely some of this stuff burning players' jerseys and like they acting like these players are slaves when that they know that's not true, man. So we ain't playing that.
But no, I mean, I think it's definitely hate crime just in general. You know, so. So, yeah, man, shout out to the players that are doing their things, man, getting them checks. At the end of the day, they're the one with the M's and billions. More black excellence. That's the way it's going down.
Right,
yeah, so today on today's episode, man, we want to touch as 18, you know, 18 to 21 years, but also 14, 17. We want to touch, you know, all young people and say what's been going on. So what do you guys feel we're at right now as a whole, as a culture? Streetwear, fashion, music.
Yeah, bro, I know y'all 14, so y'all really don't know how y'all gonna answer that, man.
And you 44.
Nah, bro, I mean, come on. Like, as a youth, man, like, one thing that I noticed with you guys is with the culture that's taking place now, I see things going towards, especially with fashion-wise, things are going gearing more towards simplicity. So as far as, like, Chucks, mm-hmm. Superstars, Air Force Ones, but do you guys feel that like fashion is moving towards like this futuristic, or do you think it's going back more towards basic stuff, like, you know what I mean, like Chucks, Air Force Ones? Like, I know Anthony works at Nike, so he's probably seeing a whole bunch of stuff on campus, you know what I mean? But one thing that me and my girl, we just got back from Disneyland, and I was just seeing a whole bunch of Chucks and Superstars. Didn't really see people wearing a lot of futuristic stuff. So what you guys think about that?
I'll definitely be one to say that when it comes in terms of trends and fads and stuff like that, everything does go in a circle. So I will say that fashion is going backwards, but at the same time, it's going forward. Like, back in the day, everybody had the high top fade cuts. We got them now, but except we added braids to it, you know? Like, they used to wear the baggy clothes. Now we wear them, you know, half, you know, baggy t-shirt with some tight jeans. You know, you kind of mix it up. They used to wear, you know, Chucks back in the day. We went to Jordans, came back to Chucks. Like, everything goes in a circle. So I'll definitely say something from the past is definitely going to come up, but it's going to be with a new twist to it. Like, we love wearing retro stuff. It's, you know, it looks cool. It's kind of like... And then sooner or later, people.
Nah, I wish the viewers could see what Dwayne's wearing. He constantly dresses like Do the Right Thing or White Men Can't Jump. He's a 90s legend, so he'll never show up to the party, you know, underdressed for the 90s thing.
Yeah, honestly, though, it's just what I feel most comfortable in. I like, you know, I like the denim. I like the big t-shirt fit, you know.
He's got a Justin colors. Timberlake jean on jean on today. You know?
Canadian tuxedo.
He's missing his Britney Spears.
You know.
With 2004.
2004 VMAs, man. speaking of the VMAs, man, the VMAs got the lowest ratings ever.
Wow.
Literally, bruh, that was the worst award show I ever watched. Shout out to Kendrick and Logic, because that was dope. But other than that, man, I was very, very mad about the whole show. I didn't mess with none of the performers. They didn't have no hip-hop bruhs up there. Compared to the year before that, it was lit. They had Beyonce perform, and I think, which was super funny, I was watching a remix of it, but... Kayla over here literally was in tears over Beyonce, because y'all know females love Beyonce like that. But
oh, the men love her too. Don't get it twisted.
Wait, 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 wait.
Let's just appreciate Beyonce as a whole, you know?
Yeah. But did you say that you didn't mess with none of the performances?
I messed with Logic and Kendrick. But everybody else was trash.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Bodak Yellow was performed. Was it not?
Oh, yeah.
In the pre-show.
Okay. Hey, you know the young's gotta give.
I was coming for throws.
Hey, yeah, shout out to New York one time, all the Bodyquas.
Yeah.
Bodak Yellow, Cardi B, y'all ain't doing a wave.
But is she a one hit wonder?
You know.
Yes, she is.
No.
Okay, but you don't know.
She coming with another hit just because you said that.
You don't know that.
Yet. And she got Offset in her corner, so yeah. You know that's a big thing that she's got going for her too. So she's gonna get access to beats, and I mean, if she writes them, and is that a topic these days? And you know, did Offset
give her the ring though?
No.
I thought he proposed.
No, is that. That's not, according to my
sources didn't my tell sources. Me that.
My Twitter sources.
She addressed the VMA. She did the finger. She said, you know, she does her look. I don't see no ring on my finger.
So what's up with people really saying that she got engaged to? Because that was people. Because
that's what people do.
I mean,
that's
drama.
The tabloids. Yeah, right. You know, you two people of somewhat of a status together come together. You know, but I want to hear from you, Anthony. You know, being at Nike and have a different perspective. What do you think we're at as a culture? Like, what's going on with that?
You know what? I came from the finance world, so okay. Like banking, kind of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So in relation to that, it's a completely different culture. I mean, I could wear shorts and a t-shirt to work, you know, and I think that's a blessing. It's cool. You see people in a chilled out mood. One thing that is interesting though is within Nike. People there, a lot of designers, you know, they think they're the arbiters of cool, right? So it's a bunch of old white men. We go and design something because they have the power within the org, and we're going to make something cool and everyone's going to buy it. And sometimes that works, right? Sometimes people are like, you know what? This is it. It does catch. Other times it doesn't. Like, my sister came in town to watch the eclipse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that was cool hanging out with
really
her.
Dope, by the way. We didn't touch on that.
Yeah, we'll touch on that a little
shout
bit.
Shout out to Portland. I know you guys are out there with your movie 3D glasses.
Oh, yeah. More like welder glasses,
yeah,
man.
Right?
But, she was in town. She's really big into the fashion kind of industry. Definitely. And she's like, yo, straight up, all this Nike Flyknit stuff, like, it's not cool. Like, the technology, whatever, but she's like, you can't wear all these different colors with outfits. Mm-hmm. And like within Nike, like we're just so focused sometimes on like pushing out the coolest, latest, right? And sometimes we need to step outside and see like, yo, maybe this isn't hot in like other communities or what people are doing. So I think it's really important to kind of step out and get a feel of what other people are thinking, because sometimes you may think you got it all and you don't got it at all.
No, definitely. Portland, I hope you heard it. That's deep insight right there that you normally wouldn't get from, you know, Nike employee, understanding that, you know, ultimately.
But we still wearing Chucks over here, which is Nike gang, man. We still wearing Chucks, man. That's it.
There's some of us with the three stripes, so.
Shout out to Adidas.
No, straight up, Adidas, their quarter two, Sharif can talk about this because he knows. They've been killing it. And you don't kill it unless you're doing something right. Like the originals.
coming to Alive, I'm looking, I see three stripes in the room in more ways than one. So shout out to them.
I think my whole entire fit is three stripes.
Yeah, right? You know, definitely. And they didn't pay us to say that. As have you ever met somebody so Californian before that they pull out their Chucks and put them on the table as you are, you know, giving a radio station? That's Tevin Tavares for everybody.
Pretty sure that they just came out of the box today, matter of fact.
Right? So he's feeling good about
himself. Hold on, bro.
Nah, I hooked him up.
Hold on, bro.
I'm about to say he came here with a pair of shoes.
This man really just said my last name wrong, dog. Said Tavares.
Tavares. I'm sorry, Portland.
Is that French?
Give me a break.
You feel me? It's
the you don't have these. These are the Tyler ones, right?
Bruh,
these are the baby. These are the blue.
You feel me? What we got here, man, is the Navy One Stars, bro. Shout out to the homie Vince Staples, bro. Shout out to the homie Tyler, the creator, bro. We repping Chucks over here, bro. Hey, the homie Anthony with the plug. That's the 40% plug, bro.
Hey, no, that's that Converse Nike fam. That's a big time ting.
We ain't paying full price, bro.
Yeah, that's real. Shout out to the ES. Definitely. Well, as far as streetwear goes, but we want to talk about some of the things that are going on, you know, around amongst the world as far as the youth culture. And definitely, looking towards music is a big way to do that. So we're going to talk about some international music upcoming, as long as some international things. But before we do that, you know, we want to get you going with the summer anthem that has been rocking all summer. Portland, this is French Montana and Swae Lee, Unforgettable. You're listening to Combined Culture Radio. Dunno. All right, Portland, that is Unforgettable by French Montana and Swae Lee. That was a summer anthem.
Come on now.
What y'all in think, man? You know, they said they have. They said EXO Tour Life by Uzi won the summer of the song, but that might have to get that pick to that one. You know, you got Sly.
I don't know,
bruh. Wild Thoughts. Wild Thoughts.
Magnolia.
I'm in for them to hear that.
You know. No. Unforgettable is one of those tracks, though. I think French Montana hit a home run with that one, man. That was an international hit, you know. And that's kind of the one things that we want to transition here and talk about today is this international, global reach that some artists and different creatives can, you know, utilize from a different platform. And the video for this track was actually in Uganda, and he actually went to a village and incorporated the young black kids with it, which was beautiful. You know, and we love to see people. It made for a really great song, really good video. Excuse me, Dwayne, you spent some time out there in the motherland.
Yeah,
this summer. Talk about that, brother. What's been going on with that?
I just recently got back from Ghana, and I was doing a radio internship out there. So, you know, I've been kind of doing this all summer, but aside from being on the radio out there, it's kind of just like a real humbling experience to, you know, be out there, to be back in Africa, especially for my first time actually like leaving the country, and for it to be like spent in Ghana was just a wonderful experience. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about what Africa really is and how we perceive it and how they perceive themselves. Also, I learned a lot about how they perceive us from what they see in the media. So, they're in the last few years, you know, they're not like really in control of their media and stuff like that. But I was getting my hair cut, and this guy was asking me a bunch of questions about just culture here, like, you know, the music, what do we do for, you know, fun and stuff like that, just clubs and whatnot. And when I was done, he asked me one final question, and it was, why was black boys in America so violent? And at the time, you know, you kind of give a generic response like, well, you know, things are different there than it is here in Ghana or whatever. But I really didn't have an answer for it until I came back, and like, I came back right as the KKK riots and stuff were going on.
Charlottesville, no?
Yeah, on campus and whatnot. And it's like, it made me think about like, that's why people here are so violent, is because like, we're in a society that's like constantly like aimed against us. So it's just like we have a different environment to survive in. That's all it is.
No, definitely, yeah, man. That's the biggest thing. I can't imagine. You actually said you got to spend some time with the youth, right? So like, I know you had mentioned some things, what it was like to experience the schooling and how they do things. Like, talk about that a little bit if you can.
For one, the kids there are like, they're so much more grateful than like anything you've ever thought of. Like, you know, we complain about not having new shoes or new school pants or stuff like that, but like, these kids are like blessed and happy. Like, they can get anything donated to them. Like, little kids ran up to me with like beat up Nikes from who knows when, and like showing them off like they were brand new prized possessions. And like, wow. That just goes to show you like how much more thankful people are of other things than you think. And like, we went there, I brought a bunch of crayons and stuff like that. Like, everybody brought something from America to donate to the kids or whatever. And it was like, it was a type of joy that's like, you really can't explain. Like, the type of energy those kids had in the room, like, you would sit there and like, you would literally be crying for no reason. Like, they didn't say anything. It's a different type of energy. They bring out a different kind of like joy in you. They sing, they dance, they like, they read us poetry about how they're happy because they don't compare themselves to other, or they're happy because they're thankful they have a roof over their head, or that God allowed them to wake up this morning, that they didn't die in their sleep because of hunger. Like, they like think about stuff like that, and they're grateful for stuff like that. And it just goes to show you that you know, like, some things in life aren't as serious as we think they are, and like, they're like bigger things we should be like thankful for and like should concern ourselves about. So it was definitely a humbling experience all the way around. Like, I wouldn't change it for anything in the world.
No, definitely, man. That's that perspective that you're talking about that you then, you know, obtain from seeing it and experiencing it. You know, I can only imagine what it is like, you know, being surrounded, you know, as you say, kind of like with your brothers and sisters. Because, you know, it's being black. Yeah, you know, being black, like, there is different than being black in America. It just is. You
to
know?
Be yeah. somewhere where everybody is black, like, you go yeah. there and everybody looks like you, was like, wow, like, places like this exist, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, and some I type think, of paradise or something for a second.
And I think at times, man, like, the main reason why sometimes African Americans, what makes us so different from Africans from actually Africa,
is because sometimes we don't know our roots. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know where we come from. We don't know. And I touched on this in episode one of CC Radio, but that's the main difference. And I have friends who are Nigerian, who are from Ghana. And the thing is, like, there's a deep sense of, not entitlement, but there's a deep sense of knowledge within self. As far as, like, yeah. there's a high respect for yourself because you know, like, My people come from kings and queens, and I know my heritage. Whereas, like, when we came here to America, our it's like our sense of self was stripped from us during slavery, you know. But it's up for us to also educate ourselves on what exactly where we are, where we come from, like, and it's not necessary, but just have that stronger feeling of self. You know what I mean?
Definitely, and. When I was there, like, when the when, like, local people would see me, they would come up to me and be like, you know, they would just start random conversation and they wouldn't notice I wasn't, you know, Ghanaian until I responded. Or, like, another day giveaway is that, you know, ear piercings or tattoos and stuff like that, because that's not prevalent over there. But some guy literally sat me down and was like,
this guy's tatted, he's got a nose ring.
Okay, bye. You have the same nose ring as me. Get out of here. Rocker.
Y'all didn't start getting y'all nose pierced till after I got my nose pierced.
Oh my God. Tupac did that. That's a different argument.
I was the first person, bro, out of CC to have the nose ring.
All right. Well,
this cat wants creative control over everything.
That's the light skin type.
You don't even got a nose ring, bro.
Yeah, it's
all. Y'all see this,
bro? That's a stud.
He has the 13-year-old. You got that from Claire's, didn't you?
I got this when I was in LA. I don't mess with the hoop, bro. The hoop is just too much, bro.
Yeah, okay. Come on, yo. You too much. You too much.
As your girlfriend sits here with the hoop in her, you know,
too much. You can't get a hoop. That piercing.
The numbers are looking towards us, Tev, but that's okay.
Nah, I got you. But also, bro, like, speaking on abroad. There's also, Wayne, you went to Africa, Anthony, you went to South Africa. So what do you think is the difference between kind of just, what was your perspective on everything in South Africa, you know?
Yeah, when I went there, I was there for a couple weeks, and actually my family came out with me. I was going there to visit my sister because she was studying at the University of Cape Town. So she already had that perspective being there for 5 months before I even came. So I think learning from her, I mean, seeing the day-to-day life there, kind of like the homie just touched on, it's way different than what we see here in America, at least right. The portrayals of what South Africa is.
Right.
I mean, like, let's not forget, I mean, apartheid ended in 1994,
damn.
Right? I was born in 93, so I was alive while that stuff was still going around. I recently just read, actually, Trevor Noah's book, Born a Crime. I don't know if any of y'all read that.
Nah, Trevor Noah is the man. He's South African.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. Is that show, what is it, on Comedy Central?
Yeah,
or
I think it's a Daily Show.
So yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would dude. Yeah, I've never, like, read a book that has so much comedy, so much history, and so much story all in one.
Wow.
I mean, the way he formulates all of these stories, I mean, you can really understand how things progressed, how he grew up. And the things he has to say, it really, reading that book gave me a lot of good context into really what the life was like day to day living there in apartheid. But beyond that, going there, you could still see how a lot of the ramifications of that era still affect the day to day life. I went to Apartheid Museum in Johannesburg. I went to Robben Island, where Nelson Mandela stayed as a political prisoner right off of the coast of Cape Town. And seeing those things firsthand, I mean, it's not just historically eye-opening, but just on a personal level, like to see the things that kind of went on in that time and comparing it to what we go through here back in the United States really puts things in perspective.
That's major, because I know Kendrick, he touched on in an interview of him, like, actually being in Nelson Mandela's cell, and it just reminded him of just, this man literally went through hell, like, was in a prison, and was able to survive that and bring a country together, which is truly just phenomenal. And I think, man, if we all get the chance to go to South Africa and sit in that cell and actually experience that, I think that will change our lives. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, they don't let you in it, man. So you got to see it from the outside. But matter of fact, I actually want to tell a story about that. So my family and I were doing a tour of Robben Island, where they put a lot of these big time political prisoners. And mind you, to become a political prisoner, you have to just do anything in the least opposition to the government. So you don't got to be loud. You don't got to be out there. You just got to, they could change their mind about you and they could take you away. So we're getting a tour, and it's this brother giving us this tour, really laid back guy, showing us all the cells, how they operated it. It's an island, so the chance of escaping is next to none. And by the end of it, he's like, yeah, I was here for 18 years. I was a political prisoner. And now he's giving a tour of where he stayed for 18 years as a political prisoner. So I think that kind of humility and the ability to move on and not hold grudges, even, I mean, 18 years of our life. How old are a lot of you guys here? I mean,
19.
Right? Like,
old enough.
You know, like a lot.
AKA for, young.
Yeah. For a lot of us, that's hard to comprehend, you know, and just having that ability to move on and see the bigger picture, you gain a lot of respect when you see people like that.
Were there any slave castles on the coast or anything around there?
You know, no castles in particular from what I saw. It's a real big place.
Yeah.
And so I was there for 2 weeks. All I saw was Johannesburg and Cape Town. There's a lot of other things on the Eastern Cape that who knows what's over there. But
yeah. When I was in Ghana, we had visited two very prominent slave castles where they would hold the slaves off before they sent them to the Americas. And so we toured it or whatever. And from the outside, it's just like any old giant building, whatever. But like once you get inside, like the energy is different. You kind of like look around and like you can almost put yourself into that situation. Like they took us into like the holding cells and like the living conditions, and like I stood in there for 5 minutes just like with my hand on the wall, because it's like
it has that aura.
Yeah, it's like the vibe in there is so heavy. And just to see like the way people were treated and like where they were held, and just to look at it, and like the biggest thing I took away from that is like this exact castle is like how my bloodline got to where they are now. Like this is where this is like the missing link, like he was talking about earlier. Like this is the root, like this is where it started at. So that was one of the big moments for me there, definitely, is visiting those castles.
And I think the thing is you can attest to this, going out and actually seeing a place and actually being able to physically touch these monuments, these big parts of history. There's not an experience out there that can compare to that moment. And if you're going to be waiting to learn about it in your history classes, you're going to be waiting a while. Because right, unfortunately in the United States, you know, we don't, we're not objective with learning about those histories and the actual truths. So it's on you to kind of go out there.
We literally took a brief history course over there about like just what they know, like what we know, because one of the professors that lives over there used to work over here. So like he keeps in close contact or whatever. But something that was crazy is that after slavery ended, they kind of just deaded it. Like no one talked about it. It wasn't written down in history books. It kind of was just like something that no one talked about. And so just recently, like within the past decade or so, like they're starting out to like put it in history books, and they're starting to like take kids on field trips there. Like within the last 10 years, like the slave castles was not somewhere like people in Ghana or people in Africa would travel to go to. It wasn't a monument to them. You know, it's something that is somewhere that they stayed away from. And like there's parts of Africa like that are like still untouched. Like I sat down with this guy at a restaurant, and he was telling me about how, you know, if I didn't speak, people would just think I was Ghanaian or something like that. And he was telling me about how there's older people like in the northern villages who live up to be 150 years old because like they don't eat, you know, things like ramen noodles, and they don't do stuff like that. Like it's just like the little things. But he told me that there are people who live in Africa to this day who don't know the slave trade existed. They don't know what ever happened. And like it like went over my head when you first said it, but thinking back, like, you know, Africa's massive. It's bigger to scale than they put it on any map or anything like that.
Yeah.
So to think that, you know, if somebody from one of those places were to see me and not know that, you know, for 400 years we were being shipped off across the country, I mean across the continent or anything like that, like it's just, I don't know, it kind of takes you away.
One of the biggest things, this will be my last point on this, I've spoken a lot already. One of the biggest things, what I remember, this is why y'all gotta read the book, Born a Crime, Trevor Noah, not putting him on, but I appreciate good reads. He said, if you were to ask anybody in North America, the biggest genocide of all time, everyone's hands down, oh, the Holocaust. Like,
nah,
definitely, right? They're like, yeah, most definitely, it's the Holocaust. And he's like, why is it the Holocaust? He's like, well, the Germans, they counted, right? They put numbers on people. They gave certain assignments. He's like,
tattoos.
Yeah. He's like, crazy. What King Leopold did in the Congo, right? He's like, there's no way the Holocaust compared to those numbers. Why do we not talk about it? Well, they didn't count, right? They didn't have a tab on these things. So I think just really learning from people and educating yourself outside of the normal system is the best way to go. True, for issues, man. Like this, but just for anything in general.
That's true. One of the questions that I had, I know Kayla went to Mexico, but I wanted to ask her, how important is travel for self in discovery of yourself, and why do you think travel helps you discover yourself?
I just feel like when I traveled, I was really naive about different cultures, and I didn't really know anything outside of the U.S. So going to Mexico for study abroad was my first time out of the United States, and I was really scared. And Tevin and I were together, and we'd never been apart for that long. So I was really depressed and had a really bad attitude for the first 3 weeks that I was there, and I wouldn't talk to my host family. I wouldn't go anywhere with the people that came on the trip with me, my classmates. And then something just hit me where I was I'm in a beautiful place, I'm around beautiful people, and it's why not explore and why not take that chance? And I'm glad that I did, because I learned a lot about myself and other people. And just that sometimes even when I'm scared, I just have to take that chance because something really cool could happen.
Brother Cam, what you think, my brother? How was your experience traveling? Did you find yourself, my brother?
Did I find myself? That's a great point, Kayla. Going off with Kayla, Anthony and Dwayne was saying is traveling is a big thing. I actually had the opportunity to study abroad this summer in Europe, in London. Shouts out to the UK one time. You're done, though.
It's a big team.
London's a big man team. They done, though. Shortage. But shout out to Europe, man. I really think that everything that they said is true. You know, the biggest thing that you can take away from doing anything in life and traveling more than anything else is being able to get out of your comfort zone, like Kayla was saying, and immerse yourself in a beautiful culture. So for me, I had the privilege of being in London, where they do speak English, and yes, the English is different. Yes, black people are different. Afro-Caribbean versus African-American, things are very different, even with the language still being the same. But then studying during the week, and then having the opportunity on the weekends to visit Barcelona, to visit Paris, right, to visit Amsterdam, and get a chance to get into a whole different country. You know, for example, the way that we can travel in the amount of time from one state to here. State to another, excuse me, in America is the same that you can do to a whole country in Europe, which is inspiring, you know. So to study the French and see the way that they are as people, the Spanish and just British, and there's so many elements of beauty that have to be unraveled and underlined, but only can they really truly be understood to go do those things, you know. So we don't like to tell anybody to do anything here on Combined Culture Radio, but travel. Y'all need to
definitely
go travel and see the world. And one of the biggest
things inspired.
One of the biggest things that I think that everybody at this table can agree with is you have to travel the world by yourself to see how much more beautiful it would be with your friends and with your family, because you know, doing it yourself, it allows you that independence and comfortability to get out of your comfort zone, you know, to open your eyes to so many more dope things that when you have your peers around you, you know, it makes it that much more special. And that's what we like, special things like here. Come on,
yeah, don't be afraid, man. Don't be afraid.
Definitely
let that guard down.
That's the biggest thing. What are some travel things that you got coming up, Tev, you know, as we talked about traveling?
Oh, man, bro. You know, I think one thing that I will touch on, when I was young, my first trip was to Tijuana to go build houses for in Mexico. And I think that was one thing that my pops and my uncle, they used to go down every year. So being able to go down there when I was 7 years old and really see people were living in mud huts. In mud huts, bro. And to be able to, that little simple thing of being able to put a roof over their head, and to see them crying, saying thank you, and getting homemade Mexican food at the end of it, even though I was young. Go out and help people. Go out and donate and teach kids. Go across these countries and actually implement just anything that you can to help them out. People talking about Harvey so much, I understand that. That's, we need to support them wholeheartedly. But there's also a bunch of flooding in India right now. You know what I mean? And not a lot of cats know about that. But honestly, man, I'm thinking about Combined Culture. We need to, and I think we're already doing it, but we need to do an India and Harvey Relief Fund, where we donate money for both of those. Man, do your research, man. Go donate to the right places, because some of these places be scheming up on the low. But do your research. Go donate to the right places, man, and really put your money like where your mouth is, bro. I know you got a dollar. I know you got $2, man. Don't spend it on that cheeseburger, man. Go donate, man. That's what it is.
No, yeah, that's the California thing. They ain't got no In-N-Out here anyways. You shouldn't be spending no money on no cheeseburgers if it's not In-N-Out, right?
I'll tell you right now, Five Guys is just as good.
In-N-Out is trash. Go Whataburger.
You don't even eat burgers.
y'all really got the game. Bro, hold on, bro. Y'all really got the game messed up, dog. Y'all over here gonna sit up here and say In-N-Out is trash. You
think In-N-Out? I didn't say it was trash.
I said it.
That's just Texas.
The thing is, though, that
garbage.
People from California fight a lot about things in California. They like to defend it a lot. So I'm gonna sit here and say that In-N-Out is no different than Five Guys, and Five Guys hooks it up on the fries.
No, so, bro, because that's Cali is the best state, bro.
Wait, we already agreed that we ain't buying the cheeseburger because we donated.
Yeah, right. So we're good, right? Back to the real
thing. You right. You right.
And especially to the young men at this table that we've been all around the world, man, that's all the more reason to give back and contribute to Hurricane Harvey and start at home and really, you know, help make a change in the place where you originate from, especially Black, white, Asian, all backgrounds should be giving back and looking to come together for this one. Man, that wraps up another episode of Combined Culture Radio. The time is now 7:56. You could have been anywhere in the car, you know, doing what you're doing, but you're here with us. So we appreciate you, man. Thank you to
Shout
Tevin,
out to everybody who listening.
Kayla, you know, Lo, and Anthony, Ben, Dr. Trilla, and I'm Cameron. Squad. And we thank you, man, for tuning in with us.
Man, and last thoughts, dog. We send all of our thoughts and our prayers and our blessings, man, to our brother Lo right here, man, especially to his hometown, to his city. Man, we praying for y'all. You know what I mean? We about to start this GoFundMe page. Get it cracking. Donate, man. Stop spending your money on weak stuff, man. Spend your money on the flood, man, because you know you're trying to support our brothers and sisters, man. If Beyonce could donate $7 million, you could donate a dollar.
Well, she told me that in text message, by the way.
She didn't text you back because your message go through as green?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
it went back as blue.
Each time we're going to bounce back, you heard me.
Exactly.
You feel me?
And one last thing, man. Go tune in to, go check out Combined Culture Radio on Twitter. We put up a poll to see which is that song of the summer. We'll be back to let you know who won that next week. And yeah, man, give us some feedback. We always love to hear from you guys, man. Till next time, we appreciate you.
My little eye, a girly I can get cause she don't get too many likes. A curly headed cutie I could turn into my wife. Wait, that means forever, ever, hold up, never mind. Oh, I spy with my little eye, a girly I can get cause she don't get too many likes. A curly headed cutie I could turn into my wife. Wait, that means forever, ever, hold up, never mind. Oh, I ain't been getting high. Well, maybe a little, baby, I don't wanna lie. Know when you text me, girl, I don't always reply. Well, you're not an angel either, you can't even fly. I notice the thing that you know. All this shade that's coming at me, I wonder who does it. They can't see the vision, boy, they must be out of focus. That's a real hot eye.